Well, I've always enjoyed that true story of once when a bishop went to a parish to do confirmations, and of course the kids were scared to death that the bishop was going to pick on one of them and ask a religious question. So on this occasion, the bishop did choose one of the kids and told him to stand up. And the boy stood up and the bishop said, "Define for me the Blessed Trinity." And the kid said, "Three in one and one in three." And the bishop scratched his head and says, "I don't understand." And the kid said, "You're not supposed to, Bishop. It's a mystery." There's a great writer called Peter Kreeft. He's our modern-day C.S. Lewis, a convert to the Catholic faith. And Peter Kreeft says that the Trinity is not a puzzle to be solved. It's a mystery to enter into. That's what the Trinity is. It's a divinely revealed mystery, because it's not something that we could have figured out on our own. According to Vatican I, which was the council in the late 1800s, Vatican I says, we can come to know that there is a God by the light of natural reason, but to know that God is three divine persons, that had to be divinely revealed. That's a matter of divine revelation. We see it hinted about in the Old Testament. Even in the book of Genesis, God said, "Let us create man in our own image." Notice the plural, "let us create man," but notice "in our own image," which is singular. So it's a little bit of a hint that God is one, and yet God is also a Trinity. This was revealed to our Blessed Mother at the Annunciation, when the angel Gabriel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and the child to be born will be holy, the Son of God." This great truth of the mystery of the Trinity was revealed to our Blessed Mother. And then it was revealed publicly to John the Baptist at the baptism of the Lord. When Jesus, the Son of God, came up out of the waters, God the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ at the Jordan. Again, a manifestation of the Trinity, or the Transfiguration, when God the Father again spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And the Holy Spirit enveloped Jesus, the Son of God, in this cloud of glory. Again, the Trinity revealed to Peter, James, and John. And in today's gospel, we see a very clear description of the Blessed Trinity. Jesus says, "Go out into the whole world and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Notice it's not the names, it's not plural, it's the name, because there's only one God. And yet, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, three divine persons sharing one nature. And that is what the Church teaches about the Most Blessed Trinity, that we believe in one God. And yet that God has revealed to us that he is three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we take a look at the Nicene Creed, we see the teachings of the Catholic faith about the Blessed Trinity. If you have your missal at handy and know where you can find the Nicene Creed, take a look at it now for a moment, because I wanted just to walk you through the three sections of the Creed. One is about God the Father, the second section about God the Son, the third about the Holy Spirit. This creed was written during the Council of Nicaea in Asia Minor in the year 325, and it contains, really in the most beautiful language, what we believe about the Blessed Trinity. And notice the newer translation goes back to the original word in Latin, credo, which means "I believe." For a number of years, it used to say "we believe in one God," but the Church wanted to get back to that original meaning of "I believe," that this has to be our own personal statement of faith, that we as individuals believe this, that you believe it, that I believe this. That's why the Church has emphasized, let's go back to saying the word "I believe." So the first part has to do with what we believe about God, the Father, that we believe in one God, See, we're not polytheists. We are monotheists. We believe that there is only one God. And yet this God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So first we believe that God is the Father, the Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. The visible world, of course, is what we see. We see our universe that we live in. But the invisible world is the world of the angels. It has to do with God creating all these angels of light, these nine choirs of angels. That is the invisible world that we do not see, and yet it is so real. So we know that God is Father. Jesus revealed that when we pray, we should call God our Father. Now, man is not a father unless he begets. So who does the Father beget? He begets his eternal Son. So look at the second section of the Creed. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. You and I are adopted sons and daughters of God through baptism. Only Jesus, the Son of God, is eternally begotten of the Father. It says he is born of the Father before all ages. A beautiful expression that Jesus, the Son of God, is born before all ages. But there was never a time that he did not exist. The Son of God always existed. From all eternity, he was being begotten of the Father. And the Creed emphasizes that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. He is begotten, not made. So there was never a time when the Son of God did not exist. He was always being begotten of the Father. He was not created. That would be the Arian heresy of the priest Arius in the 300s that said that Jesus was not truly God, that he was like an adopted son of God. But no, the church says he is begotten, never created. He was always in existence. And then we give this big word, consubstantial with the Father. If you play Scrabble, I would recommend that word. You get lots of points for that word. Consubstantial with the Father. What does the word consubstantial mean? It means of the same substance, of the same nature, of the same essence. So there's only one God, one divine nature, and yet three distinct persons in the Blessed Trinity. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And the Creed emphasizes that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is consubstantial with the Father, through whom all things were made. And then the amazing thing, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The second person of the Blessed Trinity, eternal wisdom, became incarnate wisdom. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then the Creed gives us, in a very few sentences, the entire life of Christ. He was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, that he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. This reminds us that Jesus Christ is a historical person, that he, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, became man at one point in time, during the time of Pontius Pilate. So the church puts in a historical person into the Creed to remind us that this is not fantasy, this is not a fable, it's not a legend. It is historical fact that Jesus Christ was crucified, that he suffered, died, and was buried, but that he rose from the dead and then ascended to the heavens to be at the right hand of his heavenly Father, but he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And lastly, the third part of the Creed tells us what we believe about the Holy Spirit, that he is the Lord, the giver of life. So he also is God. The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And yet, only one God. And people say, well, how can that be? Because 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. There must be three gods. We say, no. What is 1 × 1 × 1? It's still one. Okay? So the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. This is a very important theological truth, that the Holy Spirit is the eternal love between the Father and the Son. So the Holy Spirit is a divine person. The Holy Spirit is the love that the Father has for the Son and that the Son has for the Father. And a good analogy would be a family. You have a mother and a father, and the love between them is a child. So when you look at your child, you're looking at the incarnation of the love between husband and wife. That's what a child is, the love between father and mother. The Holy Spirit is the eternal love between the Father and the Son. And it's so divine, so infinite, that it is a divine person. So that's what the Holy Spirit is, the love between the Father and the Son. So the Trinity is the ultimate family of love. One God, a unity, and yet a family of love between persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified. So the Holy Spirit is truly God, and he has spoken through the prophets. So on this feast day of the Blessed Trinity, reflect on the beauty of this divinely revealed truth. Not a puzzle to be solved, but a mystery to enter into.